Part of this message. Amen. Amen. I believe it's going to be good. It's what the Lord called for today. So I'm going to be talking on the wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Barakah. You say, what kind of a strange message is that? Well, when I give you the reference in a minute, you'll remember that I've preached on it many times. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we've preached that story so many times. The story of Jehoshaphat and how the children of the Ammon and all those people, Mount Seir and so forth, came up against him and how, you know, God gave them a wonderful victory. Now, so what I am going to focus, there's two parts, there are several parts of the story that I want to point out today, and I'm going to, you'll get the gist of it in a little bit, and you'll understand why we are doing this message. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and also they came from the Ammonites, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And he was told Jehoshaphat, saying, there's a great multitude that's come up against you and so forth. So Jehoshaphat feared, I'm going through it very quickly, he feared and then he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now the first thing I want us to notice is this. Jehoshaphat was in a very dire situation. He was in distress because, you know, three nations came up against them and they were outnumbered, you know, and they began to be afraid, and he was afraid, you know. So it's all right to be afraid as long as you know what to do with that fear. He knew what to do with the fear was to go to the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's right. He knew what to do. He went to the Lord. And he began to plead his case and say, Lord, look at these people. You didn't even let us destroy them when we had a chance to do that. But look at how they're repaying us now. They come up against us and so forth. And we are outnumbered. We are outnumbered. But I want you to read verse 12. I'm just skipping through it. Verse 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that have come out against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. Now that's the beginning of your victory right there. When you can turn your eyes unto the Lord, away from the crisis, but unto the Lord. Now we're always going to have crises. We're going to have situations and so forth like that. You know, that's part of this world. You know, Jesus said it already. You know, in the world you shall have tribulation and all that. You know, but if you know how to turn your eyes unto the Lord in the midst of the crisis and call upon the name of the Lord, you know, that's the beginning of your miracle right there. And as they were doing that, there was a man called Jehaziel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in verse 14. And he said unto them, you know, he was a Levite of the house of Asaph. And he said unto them, look, hearken ye, O Judah. That's verse 15. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou King Jehoshaphat, and he told him, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. Why should you not be afraid? You know, I mean, normally speaking, you should be afraid, but here is the reason why you should not be afraid. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. God's going to fight this battle. Tomorrow, go down against them. You're going to find them, you know, in the valley of Jeruel and so on and so forth. You're going to find them over here. I told them, you know, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Verse 17. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, that's the best thing you can hear when you are in the middle of confusion, in the middle of crisis, when you are way over your head and so forth, and the voice of the Lord says to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, there is nothing like it, you know. Don't worry about it. You are not going to need to lift a finger. God will speak for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now, when your strength fails you, when your wisdom fails you, we preached about this a few weeks back on the message of trust not in the arm of the flesh and so forth. You know, when everything else fails you, God's favor will speak for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God, he said, look, these children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of them. And the Lord took care of them, you know. But before they did, here's what happened. So where, you know, I'm reading the story and I'll come to this place is where we are making reference from. Alright. So, in verse 20, Jehoshaphat is going to make a proclamation. When he heard the comforting words of the Holy Spirit through this man, you know, that prophesied in their midst, you know, he worshipped. And here's what he said. You know, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. So that's the first part of our lesson today. The wilderness of Tekoa. So they went into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Amen? Hello? That's the first thing. You must believe in the Lord your God. You know, that's non-negotiable. You must always know that God is able to deliver. And he will deliver. Praise the Lord. You can't negotiate that about your faith. You must believe in the Lord your God. And so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets. And so shall you prosper. So he told it to them, you know. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed the best of the singers, the people that knew how to shout the beauty of holiness, the people that knew how to make his praise glorious. He appointed those people according to the ordinances of David. Amen. Hallelujah. And when they began to sing and to praise and to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever and so forth, when they began to praise the beauty of holiness, you know, because Jehoshaphat made a commandment. He said, I want these singers, I want these praisers, I want all of these people to go first. Hallelujah. And we've talked about that so many times. You know, how Jehoshaphat, and I want to bring a lesson here, how we see this example in the life of Jehoshaphat through this situation, of how he dealt with this, and how God brought step by step the victory and what happened afterwards. So, you know, first he recognized that in his own strength he couldn't go against the battle. He said, we have nothing, no might against these people, and I don't even know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. So that's the first step. Then the second step, when the Lord brought a word of consolation, he worshipped. And you know, I preached a message like this many times, but I also preached one message many years ago called Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And in that message, I said, look, many times God will say ahead what he will do before he will do it. He always gives time for people to meditate. He doesn't always do it first, immediately. Sometimes he tells us ahead what he will do. And most of the time, he allows time for us to worship. That's right. You know, so the Lord said, tomorrow. He didn't say today. Why didn't you just go out today? No. Go out today already and do it. No, the Lord said, tomorrow. Amen. So all day today, you can have time to praise the name of the Lord ahead for the battle. You can have time to worship the Lord because the Lord said tomorrow. You can't do it any other way. You have to follow exactly the way the Lord said it. If you jump out, you know, and the Lord said tomorrow and jump out today, it's not going to work. So tomorrow. And they took the rest of the day to praise the beauty of holiness. And he assembled the praisers and they went forth. Now, the Lord said to them, you know, now this valley, this wilderness of Tekoa was kind of near to the other one called Jeruel, you know. So they went into this wilderness of Tekoa to meet their enemies, you know. So let me stop there and bring out the significance of this wilderness of Tekoa, because it's one half of my message, but not the important part, not the most important part today. The wilderness of Tekoa is the place where you are going head on into the battle. Amen. Amen. There are certain preparations that had to go ahead. And we've seen that, we've discussed that already. The things step by step of what Jehoshaphat did. But the most important part, the two most critical parts, actually three. He turned his eyes unto the Lord. He did not lean upon his own strength. That's number one. Number two, the voice of the Lord came and he hearkened to that voice. And they encouraged themselves, you know, in the word of the Lord that came to them. And then number three, most importantly, because of the word of promise, they began to praise the Lord even before they had actually seen the victory. Amen. Now that's the fastest and the quickest way for you to get your victory, is to begin to praise the Lord before the actual victory. No matter what you are confronted with, if you can get into the habit of praise, I'm going to talk about a different kind of praise this morning. Now, when you can get into the habit of praise, then you can really get your victory quickly. Amen. Now, so those are the steps they did. And then they went into the battle. They didn't run away from the battle. God didn't say, I want you to notice this. God did not say, because I'm going to fight the battle for you, you guys need to stay home. No, he did not say that. Hello, folks. Did he say they should stay home? He said, no, go down to the valley of Jeruel. You know, you're going to meet them there. Go into the wilderness and meet them there. Amen. That's right. God didn't tell them to back down. Oh no, but they are not going in their own power. Amen. If you read in the book of Psalms 44 and verse 3, the Bible says that they got not the land in possession by their own power, neither did their own sword save them. Hallelujah. But the right hand of the Lord and his holy arm. Because the Lord and the light of his countenance, because he had a favor unto him. Now, that doesn't mean they are going to stand still. You are not going anywhere. They're still going to go forward. The Lord always says, go forward. Go forward. Don't stand and don't back down. Go forward. But the Lord is going to make the way for you. Amen. So they went to meet, you know, their enemies. And the Lord did the rest. The Lord took the children of the children of Ammon and Moab. There were three companies: Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. So Ammon and Moab colluded and conspired together to fight Mount Seir. And they wiped them out. And after they wiped out Mount Seir, you know, Moab and Ammon, they now turned against each other and wiped each other out. Because the Lord set an ambushment against them. The Lord set confusion against them. They didn't know who their enemies were. They just started killing one another. And Israel, the whole time, was just praising the Lord. Hallelujah! Yeah. Judah was praising the Lord the whole time. And the Lord took care of business. Now, when they finished all that, so that's the wilderness of Tekoa. That's what led up to that. Now, let's go into the other serious part of this year. So when they finished all that, they began to, you know, when they went into the army and went to the place of battle and they found dead bodies everywhere, they began to loot their enemies. They began to just spoil, you know, all the things and so forth, you know. And when Jehoshaphat, verse 25, and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance, both riches with the dead and so forth, precious jewels and so on, and stripped themselves of them, and that they could not even carry it away. There was just so much, you know. And they spent 3 days in gathering the spoil, not 3 days in fighting. They didn't fight anything. They were just praising the Lord. But after the victory was won, they took 3 days in gathering the spoil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, But what happened after all that great, tremendous victory? Now that's the most important part of my message today. This is the part that people forget. And the Lord gave me an admonition to challenge His people today. See, this is the part that we forget. Now, on the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. Now, this is the thing that most people miss. See, every time we preach on this message, we don't go that far. We just talk about the victory and shout praise and so forth. All the things to do. No, but Jehoshaphat didn't stop there. Jehoshaphat assembled the people in the valley of Berakah, for there he blessed the name of the Lord. Berakah means blessing. Now, therefore, the same place until now is called the valley of Berakah this day. And then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat was in the forefront. Now, Jehoshaphat was the cheerleader. Amen. He was the chief cheerleader, and he was leading the praise and leading, all the blessing unto the Lord and the rejoicing and so forth. And they came and they gave glory to God, for all the things that the Lord had done for them to make them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and with harp, and trumpets. Hallelujah. Unto the house of the Lord. Now notice, notice all the things they did. Now this is the valley of Berakah. This is what's missing most of the time. When after God has brought you through the wilderness of Tekoa, and after He has given you the victory, do you return to the valley of Berakah to give the glory or praise unto the name of the Lord? Most people don't do it. Most people don't do it. We just we take the Lord for granted. Now, if people, and this is what the Lord said to me last night, if people, when people are in distress, the passion, they passionate, the intensity that they pray with and they call upon the name of the Lord, all that intensity and so forth goes away after the victory, after God does the thing. And they don't come back with the same intensity and the same passion to give glory to God. They may give a testimony, but a person that's been agonizing and praying, maybe there's a situation in their family, their child, at work, or whatever, and they are agonizing and praying and doing all of these things, and when the Lord finally does it, they'll just come back and say something casual. Hello, folks. Ye are robbing the Lord of His praise and of the glory that belongs to His name. You are. And the Lord said, ye are thieves and robbers, because you have robbed me of the high praises that belong to my name. And I said, wow, that's strong, Lord. But let me tell you something. Never forget to go and have a valley of Berakah after your wilderness of Tekoa victory. Amen? Now, there's a story here in the book of Luke chapter 17 that I want to read. And you've heard this story before, and I'll take it from verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. Now notice, they lifted up their voices. They were crying. They were passionate. They got a hold of the Lord. Have mercy upon us. Do this for us, and do this and do that. They lifted up their voices. They weren't just saying it in their mouths. They were not silent. And then Jesus told them, well, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says, the flesh, hallelujah, that old leprosy's flesh just wore away, and new skin came upon them as they went to show themselves. And they said, my goodness, wow. And they found out that they were cured. And as they found out they were cured, in verse 15, and one of them, When he saw that he was healed, now there were 10 of them, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Now notice what he did. He turned back and with a loud voice, hallelujah, he glorified God. Now remember, they knew how to lift up their praises, I mean their voices, when they were asking for help. But 9 of them didn't remember. But this man, he did exactly the same thing. This man was almost like another valley of Barakah, because he came back and with a loud voice. You know, remember those people came with tambourine and timbrel and dancing and praising and shouting the victory to the Lord. You know, and this boy, this man or whatever he was, he came back with a loud voice and gave glory to God. And when he did, he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. And he gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus looked and said, wow. Were there not 10 people that were cleansed? Where are the remaining now? See, he was disappointed. Because people do not return the praise and the glory. They don't come back with the same intensity to glorify God with which they were praying before the problem was solved. Are you still with me, folks? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. But because this man came, Jesus now turned to him and said, son, thou art made every whit whole. And he didn't say that to the other 9. So I don't know what happened to those. But this one, nothing ever happened to him again. Because Jesus said, you are made every whit whole. The faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Now, but where are the other 9? Do they return to give praise to God? Oh, no, no, no. You know, they just go about their merry way. You know, the Lord has done it. You know, and they rob the Lord. And we rob the Lord. See? I'm yet to see people praise the beauty of holiness with the same intensity that they pray when there is a problem. Absolutely. But if you can get people, you know, to recognize and give glory to God, have their own body of Barakah after the victory is won, and go with dancing and with praises and with a loud voice glorifying God and make his praise glorious, God is glorified. Amen. Now, there's a story here, of course, you know, whenever I tell a story in the Bible, I've got to find a way somehow to bring David into it. There was a story here about David in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 11. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 11. Now, so, in this story, you have to read all of it and so forth. The ark had been taken to the house of one Obed-Edom, and the Lord had blessed his house. I mean, David didn't want the ark to come because of what the Lord did on Uzziah, who touched the ark and so forth. So they took the ark aside to Obed-Edom's house, and the Lord blessed his house. So after David heard that, because he was afraid of the ark, but when he heard that the Lord actually had blessed the house of the person into whom they sent the ark, and David commanded that the ark be brought back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it was so, verse 13, that when they that bear the ark had gone 6 paces, David began to sacrifice oxen and fatlings. Now notice this that we are going to see in verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now, I'm here to see anybody dance in this church with all their might for the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was girded with a linen ephod. You know, and all the kingly robes notwithstanding. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, if the crown was a problem to him, he threw the thing away. If the thing was a problem, he threw the thing away and he began to get down before the Lord. I mean, he began to praise the beauty of holiness. Why? Because the ark was coming. Oh! And somebody say, hallelujah. And he began to shout. He began to praise the Lord. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. Now, I'm going to emphasize shouting today, because the Lord told me to do it. I'm going to emphasize shouting and lifting up the praises of the Lord and making his praise glorious. Now, they went with shouting, they went with the sound of the trumpet, they went with all of these things and so forth. And then there was just a ruckus and everything going on. And of course, you know how all that dancing and all that shouting, jumping up and down and so forth, you know, how, you know, Michal, the daughter of Saul, who was David's young wife, how she disdained him. You know, she had him in contempt and came back in the house and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? Look at you. You're supposed to be the king already. And look at how you debase yourself, even among everybody, just jumping up and down, taking off your robe and doing like this and behaving like somebody in the street. Now, you never, never take a mockery to somebody that is praising the beauty of holiness. Amen. Amen, somebody. Yeah. If you take a mockery to somebody that is praising the beauty of holiness, this same thing might happen to you. The Lord shut off her womb. Just like that. But David had a good response. And I love that response. David said, it was before the Lord who chose me before your father's house. Where was your father when God chose me? The Lord that picked me and raised me up above your father's house, I will praise his name. Hallelujah. And if you think that was debasing, you have not seen anything yet. I will be even more base because it is before the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. If you think the Lord chose David for any other reason, you've got another thing coming. This is the kind of reason why God chose David. Because he would throw away his kingly garments. He would throw away his crown. And he begin to shout and begin to dance with all his might. And people would think that he was crazy. Yeah, be crazy for Jesus. Amen. Now, some people can't even dance in the house of the Lord. Now, I tell you something, folks. I have seen people shout victory over a touchdown. I have seen people, you know, we're in the basketball season right now. If somebody makes an incredible shot, you know, maybe at the dying second and so forth, I mean, you'll see how people will scream and shout and holler and so forth. And even believers watching the game will do that. But when we talk about God has done something, that's when everybody will be silent. People just will be silent before the Lord instead of shouting his praise. I don't understand it, folks. And so somebody has told me an argument one time and said, well, some people are mellow. No! Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 47 and verse 1. And I'm going to read some psalms to you this morning that command us to shout. And then I'm going to put down the mic and we're going to do it. Because the Lord told me that ye have robbed me of my high praises. He told me. And I'm telling you here this morning. Now take a look at these psalms. Psalm 47 and verse 1. Yeah, you can praise the Lord silently and so forth. But no, I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about the valley of Beraka. I'm talking about shouting the glory of God. Oh, clap your hands, oh ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Well, maybe the Lord hasn't done something great for you. Because one time there was a woman whom the Lord forgave us so much. And she came and worshipped and wiped his feet with her hair and everything and said, oh, and Jesus said, yep, he that is forgiven of much loveth much. You know, maybe God hasn't done anything for you. Maybe that's why you can't shout. verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Bring forth the honor of his glory and his name. Make his praise to be glorious. Now, get all that weak stuff out of here. Make his praise glorious, folks. Come on, somebody. Make his praise glorious in the house. And verse 4. I'm going to read all these verses so you see that they are in the Bible. In case you're saying, well, you know, I'm just going to be quiet. No. Don't want to be silent. You know, this is not the time for it. You know, Psalm 98, I said, sorry. Well, before I go to Psalm 98, let me read Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Some people don't know how to make that joyful noise. Bible says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. Psalm 98, verse 4. I'm going to read all the places where it talks about shouting unto the Lord. In case you are thinking, well, what new thing is this? No, it's not a new thing. This is the reason that God chose the throne of David to set upon it. Because when you are around that throne, you will be shouting. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Some people don't even like to sing. I mean, there are some denominations that think, well, this kind of singing is, you know. You need to make a joyful noise before the Lord, folks. Because he is the Lord of the whole earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to this. In Psalm 149, I'm going to skip some of the other verses on account of time. Psalm 149, I think you're getting the message anyhow. Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise the name of the Lord in the dance. Dancing that you all used to do when you were out in the world, that was for the devil. But the same people that used to do that, when they're now saved, they can't dance before the Lord. They just come to church. They're like, oh, you know, let me just be holy here and so on. You know, and all that. You know. Folks, we need to have a paradigm shift. Bible says, praise the Lord in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel. Timbrel or tambourine. We have no tambourine in the house. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud, even upon their beds. Are you saying that God takes pleasure in this loud rejoicing? Yes, he does. Even upon your bed, sing aloud. Shout the victory. Now listen to this.
In Psalm 6,
let the high praises, not just some low-level counterfeit praises, no. Let the high praises of God be in the mouth of the saints. That always precedes executing judgment upon and vengeance upon the devil. The high praises of God in your mouth is what enables you to wield the sword. When you have the high praises of God in your mouth, he said, then let the sharp edged sword be in their hands to execute his judgment and vengeance and so forth like that. But first, the high praises of God in your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Well, you know, I must say, folks, I thank God that I already have this kind of nature inside of me. Some people are more of a mellow nature, and I'm trying to ginger and kindle that praise fire in you today. But for me, it's a natural approach. I can jump, I can tumble, I can do anything. At the sound of his name. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, notice that scripture. Praise him according. You know, if God has been great and incredible to you, then don't just come here and give us a few weak words. I mean, let's shout the praise of God. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with some tambourines, folks, and dance. Praise him with a tambour. That's tambourine and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Why is it that he keeps emphasizing the loudness? Because we need to make his praise glorious. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has read. Now I'm going to read an example of how people shouted in victory of the Lord and the praise of the Lord. I'm going to read it to you in the book of Ezra, chapter 3. I want you to turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. Let's read this one before we close. And I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 of Ezra chapter 3. When God began to give them the victory by rebuilding the temple unto the Lord, these people shouted the victory. Let me see here what they did in verse 3 of Ezra chapter 10. Verse 10 of Ezra chapter 3, I'm sorry. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asa, the sons of Asa. This was the singers in those days. Asa wrote many of the songs, by the way. Wasn't just him. To praise the Lord with cymbals, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And then let's see what they did in verse 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth towards Israel. Now listen to this. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. God restored something that had been missing for them. And the Bible says they shouted with a great shout. Now, I want us to have a Valley of Baraka experience here today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you have an opportunity to redeem yourself. That's right. You have to redeem yourself. You have to do double duty today, because you have already stolen many of his praises which you didn't give to him. So you got to do double duty. But the Bible says if you take what belongs to the Lord, then you got to give him double. I don't have time to go into that. Even in tithes and offerings and so forth. You know. So, today, because we have hitherto robbed the Lord of his praise, his glorious praise, because we have robbed the Lord of the shouting and the rejoicing before the Lord, because we have robbed the Lord of the dancing with the timbre and with the string instruments, we're going to do double duty. Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh man, that's too weak. Can somebody say hallelujah? Everybody on their feet right now. I want you to begin to raise your voice individually and begin to shout. Don't be silent. Begin to raise your voice and begin to shout. Before we do this, in the book of Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1,
The Bible says there was silence in heaven about the space of 30 minutes, half an hour.
I believe they are always shouting the praise and shouting the glory of God. But I believe that one time, towards the end of the age, the people of the Lord will perfect His praise. When the people of the Lord perfect His praise, God said, shh, to the angels, I'm going to hear my children sing. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, people always think that angelic song is more beautiful. No. Our song is more beautiful. Because the redeemed of the Lord have a song that nobody could learn. You angels can learn it. They were never saved. They don't know what it is to have salvation. And one of these days, if you can understand that, you will praise the Lord with all your might. Now, I want to praise you. Take it away. You know, praise God. And you can bring your offering.
Hallelujah.
But I tell you something. Don't go away yet. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. But I tell you something. While you are making his praise glorious, there are many things that are dropping from your body. That's right. There are many chains and shackles that are being broken. There are gates that are being cut down. There are piles of iron that God is shattering. Because that's the power of glorious praise. So one more time, folks. One more time. Remember, David danced with all his might. One more time, folks. And if you can do it, and I'm asking the Lord that the people that shout the victory of the Lord with sincerity in their hearts this morning will go home with a special miracle. Let the people praise it. Let all the people praise it. Come on.